Part 4, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. I elaborated on it has to be done from a saved heart, because the heart we receive at birth is wicked, deceitful above all things. So when God gives us a new heart, we can't keep his commandments perfectly, but we can sure make an attempt at it. Before we're saved and God gives us a new heart, our trying to keep the commandments doesn't gain us any rewards or anything in heaven. And we'll just be somebody in hell if we don't receive Christ. It's that simple. But I talked about this last week, and I pointed out, don't keep his commandments because someone forces you to do so. Do it from a heart circumcised by God in thanksgiving for his having circumcised it. I remember a preacher up in northern Arkansas, good friend of mine. He's dead now. And preachers were always talking about him, and he just amazed me. If somebody missed a service, the next Monday morning, he was right there on their doorstep, constantly. I mean, without fail. You can count on it. And he was that way all of his ministry. And he kept the church going, because the people knew if they didn't come, he would be at their house. And I'm not exaggerating one bit. I'll tell you who he was. His name was George Roach. And George told him that, and he told me that. He let me know. He said, if you're not there on Sunday night, he said, I'll be out on your doorstep Monday morning. And he was out there. And I'm sure he had some runarounds and arguments with people. You just can't hardly do that without having some run-ins. But by cracky, he kept them all coming. Now, the problem is it wasn't from the heart. If people come to church just because you're going to bug them to death and stay out there and just stay on them like a duck on a June bug, they are not coming to church from the heart. So that's one reason about attendance I never have really been overly bothered about it. When I was young, maybe some, yes, but certainly not now. I'm concerned only about one thing. Am I presenting the Word of God? Am I praying and trying to follow His leadership in what I present to this church? And if God gives me relief and satisfaction on that, and that I'm making an attempt, and that He's satisfied, then I believe if you show up here, it'll be because you want to be here. There are a lot of legitimate reasons for missing church, and I realize that, so that's why I don't really harp on you a lot. I preach the Word, and sometimes I'm sure it bothers you. But a person should do for God whatever they're going to do because He is God, and because where they live and He lives inside them, they want to please Him. And that's really the only appropriate reason for coming to church. So if I believe that I'm preaching the Word of God, and I believe it's what He says in His book, then I think you'll come for that reason. And any other incentive I use to get you here will leave a big question mark in your own mind as to why I'm here. Romans 2, 28, 29, I covered this last Sunday night in detail. I'm not going to waste time with it again. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. When God circumcises a heart, he changes it. And he puts a desire in it to rejoice that it's saved. And he puts happiness in it to know that it won't go to hell. And he also puts a desire in it to please the one who did this marvelous thing for them, totally by grace. And he doesn't show up all the time, just constantly bothering them if they miss church. Because that's something that involves love. It's something that involves wanting to understand his word and to hear it. And that's something he leaves up to you. He'll give you the incentive, but he says, now come on if you want to come. Colossians 2:19, 2:9-11. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I covered that completely last Sunday night. And I put a mark right here, and I said, this is where we'll start next Sunday night. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And then he tells you something that will happen if you do make an attempt to keep His commandments, for a length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Stress is one of the most damaging things to a human being. And the person who says, well, it doesn't bother me, I never have stress. They are somebody that usually has so much stress stored up inside them and don't know how to release it, that there's a turmoil going on inside and a veneer on the outside that's trying to look calm. Stress is a terrible thing. I went through some periods of terrible, terrible stress. And I have to take Paxil. Because I just got wore out on stress in the National Security Agency, because a lot of times decisions we would make, analysis that we would make, are being accurate or inaccurate, would cost human lives. And that is something that is a terrible weight to bear. So after I retired from the service, I had so much stress, I didn't even realize it had stored up. But a lot of my stress was inflicted by circumstances around me. But you know, there's another kind of stress. It's an additional stress by God bothering you because you know that you should be doing this and this and this and this. You don't have to stick up your hands. Please don't. If I were to ask on Sunday morning with this place full, how many of you think it's wrong to come to church? There wouldn't be a hand stuck up. If I were to ask, how many people think you ought to come to church whenever you're physically able? And I realize there are outside conflicting things. You've got trips. You've got a job you've got to make. Shirley has to go here and go there. I'm not some type of an ogre. And certainly God isn't, and He understands when you've got to do things. But when you just don't come, and you know you should be there, it builds up in you. And that's the kind of stress that's real. And that kind of stress will shorten your life. I've seen people who were saved and scripturally baptized and members of the church, and the constant battle that they have with God, you don't realize it, but I watch it. It goes on inside them. And it's just a continual struggle. And the human body has a propensity for quite a bit of stress, but it can't take an immeasurable amount. And when God's bugging somebody that's saved, plus all the other pressures in life, family, children, wife, husband, job, you name it, sometimes they don't have any peace. And sometimes they don't live as long as they would have if they just learned to trust God, do what they're supposed to do, come to church, worship God in church, don't try to become king of the hill, don't try to be rich, try to have more money in your savings than you could ever possibly use. Don't let your mind be geared totally toward the world and what would I do if this were to happen? Or what would I do if this were to happen? What would I do if this were to happen? Just trust God. A glowing and growing relationship with God reduces more stress in your life than you can ever imagine. You know, when I have the most stress in my life, when I do something stupid in God's service, it's not embarrassing. I mean, it is embarrassing, but I have a terrible struggle in myself with God. And you all, I've been here some time. You've been around me. You've seen me say some horrible things. You've seen me act like a little, small, infantile child that's jealous. You watch me. I'll tell you, when I have my stress, when I have to go before God and admit what a fool I am, and how much harm I did. You all are supposed to look upon me as a man who's spiritually mature, a man who is versed in the Word, a man who's relatively calm, someone you can come to for advice, someone you can put your confidence in. But if I act like a small infantile child, even though your carnal nature is just like mine. But if I let him come out, I'll tell you, when I have stress, it's not embarrassment. It's before God, I have done something that hurt his church. And if I'm going to be somebody you look up to, I can't afford to do that. I have to control my carnal nature. And if I don't, I harm God's church. Now, I've learned since I've been here, maybe not to make as many stupid mistakes, hurt God's church as much as I used to. But maybe that's why I'm 73 years old. Because I don't have that stress anymore. Anybody, if you quit coming to church and just said, pooey, just stayed home, don't you think you'd have a lot of stress? What about you, Charlie? I mean, you just, surely, we'd all have a lot of stress, wouldn't we? This is the Sunday night crowd. And it would bother us so much, because God loves us, he'd keep on us, that we might not live as long as we would have if we had just gone ahead and kept his commandments. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you feel better do you feel better toward God, and do you feel a better relationship toward God? What if you hadn't come tonight? Well, it's perfectly obvious that you're here. So I could say, well, you knew you could be here. But suppose you decided, I'm just tired of that. Not all like Proverbs anyway. And he's kind of boring on the subject. And all that may be true. But you're coming down here to worship God. So, do you think tonight, and when you leave here, you will feel better for having been here? But if you hadn't come, wouldn't you be sitting at home feeling a little bit guilty? That guilt builds up. And you're a human being. And it's not conducive to good health. And sure, it's a small thing, but stress builds up. I didn't know that, but I've become familiar with it now. And so he says, try to do my commandments. You know, you're saved, you're scripturally baptized. He said, you want length of days and long life and peace? He said, I'll add them to you. Who do you think's going to live longer? A nervous ninny or an easygoing, peaceful type of person that just lets it roll off their back? Remember your grandmother? Just let it roll off her back. Remember Teddy Putty? Just let it roll off his back. That's the kind of person I like to be around. And that's the kind of person that has listened to Christ and isn't trying to conquer the whole world or be somebody. They're just trying to keep God's commandments and do what they're supposed to do. And they do get a long life out of it. Honor thy father and thy mother. This is the first one with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I tried to do that. I tried. Suppose I hadn't done anything. How do you think I'd feel now? Imogene, don't you feel a little guilty that you didn't do more for your mom while she was alive? But you did some, didn't you? I feel guilty because I didn't do more for Mom than I should have. I was there and I held her in my arms when she died. She died in my arms. And suppose I hadn't done anything. That would be something that would bug me for the rest of my life. You say, well, if you weren't saved, it wouldn't bother you. Aha, that's the point. Because I have a new heart. And even though I try, I'll always have some guilt that I could have done better, that I could have spent more time with her, and I could have been a better son to her than I was. But I honestly believe that the better you treat your mother and your father in obeying their commandments and in doing what they want you to do, the more content you'll be with yourself and with life. And God gave you a physical body. God knows exactly how it functions. He knows what causes it to have a short lifetime or a long lifetime. You ever give a placebo, Doreen? You never given a placebo? Well, They don't. That's a shame. Dr. Pennington had a drug traffic out there. I love Dr. Pennington. But somebody come to him. He was a very kind old gentleman. And he would feel so sorry for their pain. He'd put them on the, something. Yeah, he'd put them on that. And they'd get hooked on it. And he just kept them on it all the time. And they died happy. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I have seen people, Lord knows how many, in that Danville hospital, come in there just absolutely stressed out. I was a United Missionist, so I got to see all of them. They'd come in there and they would be so stressed out, you could just see it. And they needed that shot. They thought they needed it. And I mean, they were taking a lot of stress out on themselves. See, I didn't know what a placebo was until I worked out there for 3 years going through college. And one of the nurses, about I'd been there a week, I kept noticing this placebo kept on the charge sheet. I had to do all the charges. I sat there at night and admit people, and I'd have to do all the charges on a computer. This thing placebo kept coming up. So I went over to one of the nurses at the desk, and I said, "What is a placebo?" She said, "You don't know what a placebo is?" I said, "No." She said, "I'm going to show you." She said, "Tonight, when one of them comes in here, one of Dr. Pennington's patients, and he just comes through and he's shaking all over," she said, "you come back and watch what happens." So a woman came in. She was so stressed out, she was like a raving lunatic. And her husband brought her. And so she was just such and such distress, they rushed her on, took her on back to the room. I thought they were awful calm when they took her back there. She just seemed to be in great distress. And so her husband and I filled out the papers, and the nurse kept motioning to me. And I came down the door. She said, "I'm going to show you what a placebo is." That woman in there was just, you wouldn't believe it. She went over and she gave her that placebo in the hip. She says, "Now watch." I stood at the door. I didn't get her seat put in the hip. They made me stand outside. They did that. And I watched. Within a minute, within 2 minutes, within 5 minutes, complete calm. It was all in her head, all in her mind. Well, that's what I've learned from the Lord. About 95% of my trouble is in my mind and my suspicions and the things I think are going wrong. And if I just trust Christ and let Him straighten out the mess, my old body would be a whole lot better off, and I'd live a whole lot longer. So I did love my mother. I accepted my father, but I couldn't honor my father because he wasn't there. But I think that a person that obeys his mother and father is a person that learns something from them. Well, what does a person learn if they don't honor their mother and their father? Let's take a rebellious child. Suppose you've got a good, solid Christian mother and father that know the commandments of God, and you're their child, and they work with you, and they pray for you, and they're kind to you, and they spaddle you when you need it, and they go through all that, and they teach you to serve God, they teach you to love God, they show you that they love God, and they do all that for you, and you're not rebellious. Now let's take the opposite case. Let's take some parent like that, and they love their children. They care for their children. They do the same thing that first set of parents I just described did. But that child is rebellious as a wild mud hen. And he's not going to do any of that stuff, and he's not going to pay any attention, and get out of my way, I will do what I want. And the child does. Both children live for about 30 years. Who do you think is going to have the most body damage? The most internal stress? The most unhappiness? Who do you think's going to live the longest if they both have the same body structure? The one who loved his mother and father, and he kept the commandments, and believe it or not, keeping the commandments is really good for you. It's not just spiritually good for you, it's physically good for you. And so, there's a lot to do with what the Lord has to say there, but a lot of it is in the doing. And when you take Scripture and you read it, think about somebody that honors their father and their mother, and then think about somebody that doesn't, and then think about what their life's going to be when they become men and women, and think how their lifestyle is going to affect how long they live. You'd almost think God understood us, wouldn't you? Word of God's a marvelous book. Proverbs are a marvelous thing, but there's a whole lot more to them than I used to think as a young man. Ecclesiastes 12 and 5. Of course, this is a spiritual thing. This is not referring to a long life here, but it's referring to a long life when you go to be with the Lord. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. When I used to get in the shower, room, room, boom, now, I have to do this because that you just scrape your toe on that thing on the bottom. And then I get this hand here and this hand over here and turn around without falling. And everywhere I go, I look out for anything that I have to step over. I don't want to fall down and trip. I used to give all this great advice to Sister George. I say, now, you be sure and use that walker. I tell Sister Barnes that. I'm almost there. I mean, I know why they fail. Because you just don't keep your balance very well. Well, and fear shall be in the way. You know, I'll never forget the first time Imogene fell down on a cucklebur out there on the trail. When you get old, you don't just step on them and they mash. You go rolling along with it. And you get afraid of everything in the way. So every time we'd walk, as we walk along, I'd kick the cucklebars off, and she'd kick the cucklebars off, and we'd clean the trail off, and the almond tree shall flourish. Imogene's almond tree is white. Sister Shipley's almond tree is white. That's what happens with an almond tree. When it's going to produce fruit, it gets old, turns the most beautiful white you've ever seen. Mine's getting there. And the almond tree shall flourish. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. You ever see an old grasshopper? Man, he's got real skinny legs to start with. And toward the end of the season, they don't live all that long. They don't hop anymore if you watch an old one. He just walks like this, and he's dragging his tail behind him. And that's about what I do now. It's just walk along, dragging my tail behind. But I'll tell you what. This advice that Solomon gave, if you read the 12th chapter, it's good advice. He says, honor thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He says, when you're young. And if you honor your father and your mother when you're young, if you try to keep the commandments of God when you're young, if you try to grow up to be what God wants you to be, He doesn't just give you long life here. Because man goeth to his long home, and the martyrs go about the streets. If Jesus doesn't come during my lifetime, and you come to my funeral, I wish they'd just throw me in a pine box and bury me out here in the backyard, but they don't do that anymore. But when you come to my funeral, and you're sitting there, and you walk by the coffin, and you look me over, please do not cry. It'd be okay for you to cry, Imogene, because I'm going to be watching you. You cry and do all that stuff. But the rest of you, put a big grin on. Because I beat you out of here. And I've gone to my long home. And you know it's there. And I know it's there. If you know that, you'll come to church because you love God. And because you'll realize that the only reason you're going to that long home is because God's Spirit led you to Christ. He got inside you and changed you. Yeah, you let Him. But He did the changing. And all of a sudden, you're not here with those people that you love. I do love you. Of course, I love Imogene more. But they're not here anymore. You're there. You won't miss us. You'll just be anxious for us to get there and be with you. And you'll have lots of company there, people you've known before. You won't miss us at all. What you'll do is just hope that we're going to be with you very soon. And you won't have to say, well, I think they will be. You'll know. And there's an amazing thing about God's Word. The more you study it, the more you know it's true, and the greater joy it becomes in your heart, and the greater reason it gives you for living. You sure can't understand much when you're young. And God knows that. But you sure can understand a lot if you study His Word. You get old. If you ever leave here again, I'm going to come out with a paddle and get you. You broke my heart, you varmint. I just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And God brought you back. You belong here. So if you get mad, just get over it. Okay. Brother Kenneth Eubanks, would you dismiss us?